Call upon that name and they are saved. Father, you are all we have. Your mercy and your grace. We yield to you this day. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our eyes, O God. Give us understanding of these times. Awaken us to purpose and destiny. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 All through history, there has been transitional moments in different generations and in different dispensations. And all through history, God has always made provision for every generation to discern the times they are living in. We are in an amazing time, amazing moments in our own generation. And there are various ways we respond to a time like this. We can respond based on what we understand naturally. We can respond on what we understand spiritually. Depends on how we perceive this situation, we determine how we respond to it. But this is a crossroad in the destiny of our generation. So, in the days of the children of Israel, in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32, God empowered a tribe, the children of Issachar, to give understanding to the children of Israel in times like this. So by understanding, they know what to do. So, I just want to begin to let you know that by the grace of God, the Spirit of God will be giving us understanding and revelation for a time like this, so we will not be ignorant of what to do. Amen?
Amen.
I want to encourage you, this time of service is not enough just to be able to bring understanding to what God is doing. So God has opened the door for MZTV Home Channel to be available to us every Monday at 3 p.m., every Wednesday, and every Friday. That's just the beginning. I pray you take advantage of it, because the things we're going to be sharing some of these Sunday mornings are just things to encourage us, to edify us. But on those channels, we're going to really start going deeper into what is really happening. Amen? Thank God for the media, thank God for the news, but I know that the Word of God has never failed any generation that seeks the Scriptures for answers. Amen.
Amen.
Today, just like you, I am overwhelmed and absolutely still feeling like it's a dream. You wake up in the morning and you want to say, maybe this is just a nightmare. Maybe this is not really happening. But you wake up and you, again, look around you, listen to the news, and you realize it's really happening. Many of us, we have an alarm. And the purpose of the alarm is sometimes to help us wake up when our sleep, when we're not very sure we can wake up on our own. And the purpose of alarm is for an awakening. Amen? So that we can do what we ought to do. Amen? So I want to let you know that our prayer, my prayer for me, is that I am awakened to what this moment, what the message is from God, what God is saying through this situation. Nations have never shut down in your lifetime. Kings have never been paralyzed like this in your lifetime. Presidents have not been without answers in your lifetime. Cities are stopping other cities from going in your lifetime. If you will not take a moment and just sit before the Lord, if you're not a Christian, take a moment and reflect. There is a message. There's a clear message. But I'm afraid many of us will miss it. Because we're still keeping the old mindset. But God is shifting things. Look at right now. We are having a service online. There's a message there. The government established, or the situation has forced a mandate or an advice for people not to meet, especially if you have a crowded environment. And that's the reason most churches are closed today. All over the world, there is a message, my brother. And then you're living in the very comfort of your room. Why is God asking you to stay at home? American government is paying you for staying at home. Why will God allow you to be paid for doing nothing and staying at home? There is a message. We need to pray and say, God, what are you saying to me? You were born for a purpose. Let's not be distracted because of work. And we have all these excuses about why we have to work, why we have to go to work. And we overdo it. And we completely have been distracted from the things of God. Now God shuts down the job, shuts down the work, keeps you in the very safety of your house, pays your bill through the government. What is God saying to you? Will you sit and then be distracted again in your home and not understand why you've been asked to a very short moment of rest? So, we're going to be looking at a lot. If you have time, I pray you make time to come on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Tuesdays. We're born, we've been prepared for a moment like this. There's a time to be silent, there's a time to speak, and this is the time to speak. Amen? So I pray you don't miss it. I pray you don't miss it. So, just for the purpose of comfort, nobody sees what is happening and your heart not be rendered. Your heart not be broken. Nobody sees the level of euphoria, the fear, and not be broken. So in times like this, like has been prayed on this line, I've been through songs, there is a place to find comfort, to find safety, to find strength, and to be edified. So we want to read from Psalms 46. Psalms 46. As I was meditating on this, I want to share with you what was coming to me. Psalms 46, from verse 1, he says, God, God, big letter G-O-D, not gods, not any other gods, not anything else. He says, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Listen to verse 5. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The last verse, verse 10. We jump to verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. This scripture is very familiar to some of us. I've read this scripture many, many times. But in times like this, God starts opening up things in this scripture that I never really realized before. This verse is talking about times of trouble. Not just any kind of trouble, but troubles that shake everything you can stand on. Troubles that shake everything you can look to in human strength. Troubles that perplex man. Troubles that shake foundations, mountains, hills, rivers, everything that can be shaken in the earth. Troubles that can be so overwhelming and you don't really know where the future stands. And David was having this revelation, and I believe it's not something that is only looking for the future. He was making a reference of what has happened in the past. And here he says, in the midst of trouble, troubles that shake cities, nations, that shake anything we can look to, he says, there is a safe place. He says, it's not just a safe place, there is a place of peace. It's not just a place of peace. He says there's a provision in that place. There is security in that place. There is hope in that place. And he says, God is in that place. Because he says the refuge is in God. So what does this mean? When I read scriptures like this, it's still hard for me to process. What is he saying here? And that brings us to the scripture that is very familiar with a lot of people that has been read so much in this season, Psalms 91. Psalms 91 really describes this place we're talking about. In Psalms 91, the same thing that Psalms 46 is saying, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Then he goes ahead to describe what happens when you are in this place. So Psalms 46 is really explaining Psalms 91, and both of them are pretty much the same. It says there is shaking all over the place, but there is a place where you can be still, you can be at peace, you can be in rest, knowing God is with you. And then Psalms 91, it describes a place to be, a place where you dwell, a place where you abide, a place where you are. It's like a dwelling place, a habitation. So, again, Psalms 91, as popular as it is, how will you explain this to somebody that doesn't go to church? How do you explain this to even somebody that goes to church but doesn't know how to find this place in times of trouble. So I want to use one of the ways that God always helps me personally to get a message clear. And he uses the natural things to make me understand spiritual things. So in times like this, there is nothing new under the sun. The reference that I was able to understand better was in the days of Noah. If you go to the Bible in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7, that generation, they lived in an amazing time. And in their time, life was going on as wonderful as it could be. Life was, to the human mind, life was as sweet as it can get. People were enjoying life, marriage was going on, everything, buying and selling, everything, life was just wonderful. But it's only God that looked at man at that time and says, things might look so great, things might look so wonderful, but from God's perspective, he says that generation has completely disconnected from God. That generation was completely distracted from their maker. That generation has completely defined their own existence their own way. That generation has completely eliminated the consciousness of God in their own culture and society. The days of Noah, even the Bible describes it, Jesus talked about it, even in the New Testament. Many people will think it was looking really bad. It was look famine or things. No, they were having a great time. But the difference was their confidence was no more in the Creator and God. The confidence of men at that time is in material things, in pleasure, in everything else that was in abundance except the absence of God. So when God looked at that generation from his own eyes, he knew that Satan has succeeded in absolutely separating men from him. And at this time, man has believed such a lie, convinced of it, and they have completely decided to live for it. But God in his mercy will never forsake men. God will always make provision. God will always make a way of escape. God will always draw men to him. God will do what it takes to redeem man. And the only reason God does this is because it has given man a free will. That's why things look that way. God can easily turn the whole human race towards him, but that's his forcing man against their will. The only reason why God waits is because you have absolutely free will to do what you want. But God gives you the option to know that his way is the best. His way is life, and it's the only way. So when you look at the days of Noah, you say, why won't God change the situation, stop the situation? Why? Man has a free will. Satan is the only one that violates, is the only one that trespasses, is the only one that manipulates. God will never manipulate, but he will tell you the truth, and he will be patient and give you time. So that's the reason why in the days of Noah, the world has been completely taken over. Their willpower has been turned over to darkness. But they couldn't see it just like today. We are right in our own eyes. So now, God made a way out for that generation. And what was the way that God made out for that generation? He built an ark. He built an ark. And the only way he could build the ark was he found a remnant. Noah and his children. He found a people who were willing to pay the price to create what will give man an escape in that generation from the traps of darkness. And that's way of escape was the ark. Guess what? While the ark was in the making, Noah was reminding that generation that it is time to turn. It is time to, he was preaching righteousness. Basically, he kept turning people towards God. He kept talking about looking towards God, serving the purpose for which you're born. You were born for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. One is to know your maker, to love your maker, and to serve your maker while you are on earth. No matter what he says, they did not pay attention. And they kept living their own ways until the ark was ready. The Bible says God waited. So as soon as the ark was ready, the provision God has made for that generation was ready. Now, God now told Noah that is giving them 7 days to now get into the ark. It was an awakening in that time. Noah now started calling the people, get into the ark. Get into the ark. Get into the ark. In that generation, all the animals responded. They came two by two, and in sevens, God, they were all in there. And God gave man time. Instead, man, they were just watching. They were just watching. And that's the reason I started with this. When we see things happening in our time, many of us just sit and we're watching, and we're watching, and we're watching. The days of Noah, nobody took time to say, let me just pause for a minute. This man built this ark on dry ground. Okay, I understand. There's not been any rain. It doesn't make sense. But how is it that after the ark is ready, how is it that animals need to come two by two? How is it that every animal came in twos, clean and unclean? How is it that all these things are responding like this? And why is it that they are responding in this window of time? God used every way to get the attention of men. But we are a creature. Sometimes we don't sit to meditate. We don't sit to think. We see nations' economy collapsing. We see presidents saying, where can we find help? We see governors saying, we are scrambling for help. We see nations shutting down. And we're not sitting there and saying, God, what are you saying? Just like the days of Noah, if you live then, you will laugh. Even today, we look back, we don't know what it means. But in that day, it was a wake-up call. And what was the wake-up call? God was saying, there is a place that you will find refuge. There's a place you find comfort. There's a place you have peace. There's a place you have provision. There's a place you have security. Because this wake-up call is because something else is about to happen. And I've made provision so that that thing will be a redemption for you and not a destruction. So God had to do a massive wake-up call. And during that wake-up call, everyone that was in the ark, the Bible says in Psalms 46, when these roaring waters, it's like a tsunami came, it says the mountains were moved, everything was shaking, and the waters carried everything. He said, but there was a place that the people who were there, they were still, and they knew that God is God. In Noah's ark, as the whole world was shaking, they had food. They had peace. They had provision. They were secured. They were covered. Everything in that ark. I said, God, that looks, most people are still doubting. So here's another example Jesus gave. Because these are transitional moments. In the days of Noah, it was a transitional moment. Especially when you see something happening that has never happened. Not in history. Especially in that dispensation, you need to call yourself to attention. In Noah's days, that was a transition. There was another transition that took place several times in history, but another one that took place that God is using this morning to confirm to you, He's giving you a moment to shift in your mind, the way you've been living, the way you've been seeing things, to shift towards the things of God. What is this example? The Lord reminded me. For 400 years and about, the children of Israel were living as slaves in Egypt. But God already spoke before time that there will come a generation that will experience a shift when Israel will come out of Egypt and move into their promise. So there was a shift. They've been living in that situation for a long time. Moses came, told them about that shift that is coming. But guess what happened? Egypt and Israel were there. And something started happening. It started very small. Little, one after the other. They were pestilence, plagues, or something we'll call plagues, diseases, uncommon diseases, uncommon affliction. These things were happening one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. And they were gaining momentum. The Bible says the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Today, as I'm speaking to you, there are so many people whose hearts are still very hardened to the things of God. Very hardened. Pharaoh's heart was so hardened. But what happened during that shift? God allowed a progressive alarm, a progressive wake-up call to that generation. And finally, there was a massive wake-up call. And at that last wake-up call, the ninth plague, God said to the children of Israel, I'm about to do something, but what I'm about to do, you have to be covered in the blood. Something has to die in your place so that you will not die. And the blood of that animal must be on your doorpost, because the blood will signify that something has died in your place. So that when the thing that is coming to judge death comes, He will pass over you because an exchange has been done. And so He told Moses, tell the children of Israel to kill lambs, a lamb, and they should put it on the doorpost of every family. And listen, this was a provision that anybody was available to go into, because they were mixed multitudes. And the children of Israel went into their homes. They were shut in. God told them, everybody go indoors. Go in from 6 p.m. in that evening. Kill the lamb. Put it on your doorpost and stay inside. Why? He said, because this very midnight of that day, as I'm talking to you, we are really moving towards Passover. We are in that very season of time. He says, go in, put the door, the blood on the doorpost. And anywhere I see the blood, I will pass. In other words, whatever that is going to happen in Egypt, Egypt is a type of the world. Whatever happens, the blood will be a security. The blood will be a protection. The blood will be a refuge. Wherever I see the blood, that place is under God's covenant protection, God's covenant provision. And that place, the people will be still and know that God is in control. This was a transitional moment. People have been living life in Egypt for so long. But this moment came that they really needed to reflect and say, why is this happening? And many people in Egypt, some mixed multitude went into that place. The children of Israel listened, they put the blood, and they escaped what came that night. Every home in Egypt was affected. Their firstborn died. And there was a great cry. And God released, Pharaoh released the children of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
So we see again where God makes provision in the time of crisis. In the time of crisis. There's a lot we're going to be sharing on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday in a more deeper way. Now, if you are not a believer, or you're backsliding, or somehow all these years you've not felt the need to reconsider your ways to serve God or to even accept God, or in all these years you're backsliding because you've been wounded or hurt one way or the other, there's a reason why you are in this condition you are. I want you to know that God has prepared a way. In our time, 2,000 years ago, there was a lamb that died, an innocent lamb. And it says he died in our place. He died in place of our sin, our iniquity, and the consequences of it. That if we will receive this exchange, we receive his life, we receive his forgiveness, we receive his mercy, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If we will confess and we will repent from our old ways, he says he's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins. And then we receive him. Now we become in covenant with him, receive him into our life. Automatically now we're in covenant with God. So now, whatever happens, just like it happened in Egypt, just like it happened in the days of Noah, that ark, Jesus, is in you. And his spirit and his kingdom and his father's kingdom is over you. And that's what Psalms 91 is talking about. He says, you have to come and dwell in this secret place. Dwell in this place. Make this place your habitation. It's an invisible covering. It's an invisible protection. If you read Psalms 91, you see all the things he says, they will happen, but it will not come near you. He says 1,000 will die here, 10,000 there, but it will not affect you. Why? Because you escaped into the place of safety. Why is 10,000? They refuse to escape. They refuse to find the secret place. Why 1,000? Why 10,000? God makes provision for safety. In the days of Noah, they refused to enter the ark. So, these thousands here, that thousands. Psalms 91 is saying, the people who accept this place of refuge, the people who give themselves to the place, it says God will now give angels to protect you. God will now give heavenly security over you. You don't see them, but they keep you from trouble. They keep you from evil. They protect you in a time like this because you made God your security. He says when people are falling here, people are falling there. Why are they falling there? These are the only people that refuse to accept Christ or accept that place. So what am I saying to you? If God kept all the firstborn of the children of Israel covered under the blood and not even their animal died, God, as history is speaking to us now. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus has made provision. He says, through his blood, as we receive him, he is now the New Testament ark of our security, our protection, our refuge, our fortress. He says, in the time of shaking, he says, we will stand. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't mean that fear will not come to your mind. You see things how we're human, but in your heart, in your spirit, there is this faith in this covenant relationship, in what God has spoken, in what God says he can do. The promises of God for those in covenant with him. He's able now to fulfill those promises in a time like this. Now, I encourage you this day, like Pharaoh, don't harden your heart. Because he received the message over and over until he started going through severe loss. Today, what is this message to believers? Those who are born again, those who are Christians. There are so many people, they believe God, they've accepted God. But many of us have been distracted. We've been distracted by many things. So, in a time like this, when we have been asked to stay at home, no government can make you stay at home. No generation, because they want you to work. So this was not a government induced thing. It was a sovereign move that is forcing government, because of the virus, to make you stay at home and paying you for staying at home. If you come on the broadcast, I will share with you already the wealth transfer has begun. All the labor should be labor. The government says, stay at home and rest and I'll pay you for it. Why will government pay you for staying at home? Because God is seeking your attention. He's asking you to rest, but not just to stay. He said, be still and know that I am God. How will you be still and know that He's God? Now that you don't have work to give an excuse, now that you don't have so many things, now you have time to wait on God. Now you have time to reflect on why you were born, why you were created. What is this moment saying? Why again is this we've been shot at home? Because this is a very short window of time for you to really find your place with God. As a believer, you've given too much excuse. You said, okay, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to listen to this. Now, church has come to your house. God has now come to your house. Now God is pleading. I know there's a reason why I'm saying don't miss this broadcast. I can't say certain things here because we are still, but in this broadcast, God is giving the liberty to begin to break down some things. I wrote a book 2005. God allowed me to pin that. It's just a glimpse. If you read that book, you shouldn't be surprised about the moment you're in. Everything has a time and season. If we're talking about that book now, or writing it now, it was already written. So there are things that book will let you know there is understanding to what is happening. What is happening right now is not about plague. It's not about coronavirus. It's about a strategy. It's about a shift that is taking place towards what God is about to allow happen in the earth. It's about a repositioning of the mindset of men to prepare for the next level of what is about to happen in the earth. And God is giving everyone an opportunity to find that ark, to stay in that ark, so that, well, you can really ride the ark in the midst of what is coming. So for believers, this is the time for you to ask yourself a question. Who am I? What am I doing here? What is my identity? And then, what is God's calling and assignment for my life? What should I be doing now? What is my relationship with God? Am I in the outer court? Am I in the holy place? Or am I God calling me to that place of intimacy? That place of worship? That place of relationship? That place of hearing the voice of God. That place of saying, God, now I understand why I'm who I am. Now, what do you require of me? My brothers and sisters, we have a very short window of time. And this shutdown is your moment of reflection. Take time alone. Wait on God. Forget about the way you used to do ministry. Forget about the way you used to do things. You can see that this is a physical sign that is a shift. And the only way you know where you're going forward is you are in the presence of God. And you're able to hear from God. Or hear what God is speaking through men and women who have truly heard from His presence. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, I want to say this to you. The last warning Noah gave his generation was to enter the ark because something was ahead. The last warning Moses gave them was to cover themselves with the blood. In times of transition, all through history, there's always a way God has made. God has made a way for you. Psalms 91 is not a scripture you memorize. It's a practical call to the presence of God, to a relationship with God, to literally take pause and reflect on where you are with God. Because there is something coming, And we'll be explaining a lot of this later. There's something coming after this. We don't know when, we don't know how, but it's not far. When that comes, if you don't take this moment to really reconnect and figure out how to be in the place God has called you, that ark, you will be bewildered. But for those who will now enter the presence of God, you will become a solution. This moment is the time we're called to be solution.
Yeah.
Joseph was prepared for crisis and it was a solution. Noah prepared for crisis, it was a solution. Look through the Bible. God's children who prepare ahead of time, they become answers. Listen, this is just the beginning. As bad as it looks, but it's the beginning. We are about to see the glorious manifestation of the power of God. We are in the last stages of the birth pains, the groanings of the earth, and it's a sign that the glory of God is about to be revealed. And the church, the true church, is about to reflect the power and the glory of God. And those who are shaken, they will now see where to run to. Amen?
Amen.
But this is a time not to look on this situation, not to be overwhelmed by what the media is saying, which are true, but to look to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, and find a place of relationship with Him. Don't miss the broadcast, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. God will use it to help give understanding to what is happening. And then I want to encourage you, especially those in Mount Zion. Every time we sit in church and we all have been eating this word and fellowshipping, now we're not more sitting in the church, we're sitting in our homes. Every one of us has a social media network. We have emails. This is a time for every one of us to be a preacher. From the very tablets of our home, we can encourage somebody.
Amen.
We can invite somebody to a message. If we sit in the home like we sit in the church and not give hope to people and not use your social media and begin to encourage your loved ones, encourage your friends, share something on the social media, share scriptures, invite them to this platform. Mm-hmm. What does Jesus benefit you? Mm-hmm. This is time for all of us. God has called us now and given us the word as a platform. And each of us can encourage somebody or invite them to where they can be encouraged. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your redemptive love, your long suffering. Father, thank you that so many were in this moment are full of questions. Father, you are full of answers. I thank you that your children will be moved to go to the right place for answers. Father, the news media does not have the answer. They have the facts. But you have the answer.
Yes.
May we receive, oh God, breaking news from heaven through the revelation of the Holy Spirit for such a time as this from your word. May we be encouraged and inspired to understand our assignment at this moment. Father, thank you for what you've spoken to us, that in this season, favor has come. In the midst of judgment, Father, mercy has come. Position us, oh God, because you've given us favor so we can show mercy. I thank you for comfort. I thank you for consolation. I thank you for encouragement in the life of those who are right now bewildered. Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord you've dispersed across the nations, ministering to those in this time of need. Father, I ask that you open our eyes of understanding to see you, Jesus, high and lifted up. To keep our eyes on you and not on this town, so we can walk on water in this time. Father, I thank you that the power of your blood, your covenant blood, will be our place of confidence that we are under your protection. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said unclean spirits They released the diseases of all kinds in the book of Matthew chapter 10. And you said you've given us power, authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to see the destruction of sickness and diseases in our midst. So Father, in Jesus' name, by the blood of the Lamb, wherever your people are, wherever your children are, let the power of the blood destroy the strength and the life of this disease.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the angels you've assigned over your people. Thank you for watching. Thank you for opening eyes to see, ears to hear what your spirit is saying this hour. And awaken us, oh God, from our slumber. And may we begin to move towards our purpose and destiny in a time like this. I thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. We love you. Any way we can serve you, any way we can honor, anything we can do, even for your family members, anywhere, just call and let's work together and serve our community. In this time of fear, fear not.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.